Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, if you would like to follow along with me. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Like Father, like Son. I'm not talking about John. He's a chip off the old block. We've heard these statements before. They are used to declare that the Son is a copy or a reproduction or a replica of the Father. That is to say that they like the same things or have the same values or even the same appearance. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul's informing us that we need to imitate Christ. We need to be the chip off the cornerstone. We need to be a replica of Jesus. But why? What is it so important that we have to be like him? Peter gives us the answer. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21 and 22, where Peter writes, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Jesus, our perfect example. As to our scripture reading, Paul tells us that we are to have the mind of Christ. And he tells us in the content of these scriptures what it takes to have that mind. To have the mind of Christ is to have the mind of sacrifice. In verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 2, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took it upon him in the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." Now we only have in our minds what heaven looks like as far as the writings of John and the Revelation. Our human mind cannot, even in the smallest amount, conceive of the beauty of what heaven is going to be. Only what John writes. And Jesus sacrificed the blessings in heaven for us. Jesus counted not the being on the equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't think of it to be robbery, but being equal with God, because he was God. And he is in the form of God. In other words, Jesus is identical with God, a chip off the old block. Jesus gave up all the comforts of heaven to be a servant here on earth. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, Paul writes here, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we were, yet without sin. Brethren, he didn't have to do this. He sacrificed his own life for us. He left the perfection of heaven to go to the pain of the cross. He knew that he was going to endure a trial of humiliation. He knew that he was going to go through the pain of the scourging. He knew he was going to go through the pain of the nails being driven through his hands and feet. But it was his choice, and his choice alone. In John 10, in verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. That no man takes it from me, but I lay down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. It was his choice. The Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't kill him. They were the instruments. That's all. And at any point in his life, Jesus could have changed his mind. He did not have to endure what he wanted to. To have the mind of Christ, we must also have the mind of sacrifice. In the first two verses of Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we must be willing to sacrifice the worldly pleasures of today. We must be willing to sacrifice maybe certain friends. Maybe the ones who are poor examples for us. Maybe the ones who are leading us into temptation. Yes, sometimes we may even have to sacrifice our social status. We may have to put aside certain things in order to be an example and an image and a chip off the cornerstone. And yes, sometimes we need to sometimes sacrifice family. To have the mind of Christ is to have the mind of humility. Philippians 2 and verse 8, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Jesus, being God, took on the form of man. That is the same thing as us taking on the form of a worm. But the great significance here is the word humbled. It comes from a Greek word which means to make low, to bring to the ground. Humiliation, as far as our English word goes, would be the closest definition to the Greek word. Jesus was humiliated. He was dragged through trial. He was dragged through the streets, forced to carry his cross. Jesus was dishonored, and he was disgraced in taking on that form of a man, that imperfect creature. He suffered this humiliation on a daily basis. We have to think, have we ever been humiliated? And I think every one of us in unison could say, absolutely. We've all faced it. But James wrote in James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. See, we don't always look at the blessings that humbling brings us. In Luke 14, verse 11, Jesus said, whoever exalts himself shall be abased, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Then we look at the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, when the apostles were dragged before the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, and they wanted so much to kill them. And Gamaliel, he stood up. And he brought forth in Acts chapter 5 examples of men who exalted themselves, who pretended to be the Savior and who had a following, and all of them to a one were either destroyed or dispersed. And his advice to the council was, let these men go. He said, if it's not from God, they will disperse. They will become nothing. But he said, but if they are, then you're fighting God. And so they beat them. And the apostles in verse 41, they rejoiced. They counted themselves worthy to suffer humiliation for the name of Jesus. When it comes to humbleness, if we keep in our minds Romans 8 and verse 18, Paul writes here, Paul, one who should know, through example, suffering and humiliation. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah, we're going to go through an awful lot in this life. An awful lot. But even with what we're going through, we should never allow that to hinder us, because what's coming is far grander than what we have today. But you know, that wasn't all that Jesus did. To have the mind of Christ is to have a mind of obedience. In Philippians 2 and verse 8, it says that Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had this mind of obedience. In John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said that it was his meat to do the will of his Father which sent him. And to finish the work. Obedience is what he hungered and thirsted for. It was his very reason for being here. John 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Can you imagine the discussion that did not take place in heaven? God saying, you're going to go down there, you're going to sacrifice and do everything here for these people. Jesus back there arguing, no, I'm not going, I don't want to go. No, that's not what happened at all. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will. He was always concerned about doing God's will, his Father. He was not concerned about what he wanted, but what the Father wanted. John 17 and verse 4, Jesus prayed, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Have you ever had a task set before you, and you worked diligently on that task? And when you got done, you sat back and you looked at your work, and you were pleased. But others came and looked at your work, and they were highly pleased. Remember the sensation that you feel and felt when you had that done? For those of you in school, you got through a difficult project, and you turn around, and after you turned it in, you waited a week for the grades to come back. and it comes back that you got an A+. Your work, you're pleased that you were able to accomplish the task. Jesus glorified God through his obedience. He didn't leave any of God's work undone. Everything was done. In John 19 and verse 30, we find evidence of this. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus didn't even let death get in the way of his obedience. So what will it take for us to be obedient? For some, it is embarrassment. For some, it's losing their friends. For some, it could even mean being disinherited from your family. But you know, Jesus became perfect in obedience. In Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9, Paul writes here, "Though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." You know, if you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven, if you want your salvation to come to fruition, you must be obedient. Period. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9, the brethren there in Thessalonica, they were concerned. They were so concerned that those of their loved ones had already passed away. They were so looking for the second coming of Christ. And they were afraid that their loved ones would not make it and would not see it. And Paul was writing and in the letter to encourage them a bit, but Paul also, in chapter 1, gave the warning of punishment. And that punishment that awaits the disobedient. And when we look at these things, it should be a great motivator for us to have the mind of obedience. But what's so sad is that too many ignore the warning signs. In their minds, God is love. And God wouldn't think of punishing good, well-meaning people. But God wants obedience. He wants obedience. In 1 John 3 and verse 22, John writes, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Why? Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. These are the rewards from obedience. Yes, we receive rewards in this life. We have all been blessed beyond measure. God has given us so many blessings in this life, we can't even think of them all. And many of the blessings we receive in this life, we don't even recognize. But there is a blessing coming that pales in comparison to what's ahead of us. Notice what the end result was of Jesus having the mind of sacrifice, the mind of humility, and the mind of obedience in Philippians 2 and verses 9 through 11. It says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, the things in heaven, and the things in the earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father." Through his sacrifice, through his obedience and humility, Jesus was exalted. And everyone knows him. the greatest book of all time. Year after year after year, always in the number one seller list. Outsells any other book ever published. Year after year after year. Everybody on the face of the earth, from the atheist to the agnostic, to the Muslim, to the Hindus, they all know the name of Jesus. Every one of them does. And in the end, for those who may not, they will. They will. You know, many years ago, when I was growing up, my mom, they subscribed to Reader's Digest, and every, about once a year, they would have books that was put out by Reader's Digest. And there was a series of books. They weren't scripturally correct by any means of the imagination, but they caused you to think. And I remember in one of the stories that it gave out, or that was printed, actually there was two, I remember one in particular, that Australia sunk. And it was supposedly that God had come back to give man an idea. Okay, just for those of you who don't believe in me, watch this kind of thing. And so while the world was watching, God raised up Australia out of the water, and everybody still was still alive. He said, that's my power. You see, God's not going to do that for us. For everyone who does not believe, God's not going to do that for us. God has already given us everything we need right here. But we just have to be wise enough to believe it. Not smart enough, wise enough. For many, it's going to be too late. Too late. But if we have the mind of Christ, we will be exalted. Sacrifice, humility, and obedience is that mind of Christ. And in that mind, we can, and in those three words, we can grasp everything that is necessary. Because sadly, God's not going to raise Australia out of the water. His Son's coming. By then, every knee that's bowing is too late for the majority of them. Do you have the mind of Christ? If you're not a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. When that time comes that every knee shall bow, will your bowed knee know exactly where it's going to end up? There is no land of second chances. We'll see that tonight's lesson. There's no land of second chances. The second chance that you have in this life is today to obey the gospel. If you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to take that step today before it is too late. To repent and confess and to be baptized for the remission of sins. And God will add you, Jesus Christ will add you to His church. That's the only membership required. If you are a child of God, if you have not been living the way you should, if you've not been focusing on the mind of Christ and doing your will instead of God's will, we want to give you the opportunity also to make things right with God, to change your pattern in life. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?